If you would be turning with me over to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 2 there regarding what the author has put down for us. We read here in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's two of the doctrines. And of the doctrine of baptism, 3. Number 4, the laying on of hands. Number 5, the resurrection of the dead. 6, and then eternal judgment. So we have listed here what we refer to as the doctrines, as the author writes here for us. You might say these are the footings of the Christian person's life. Footings, you know, how many of you have ever been in construction, but when you put down a building or walls up, you put down what's called the footings first. Put them in the ground, and then you build upon them. And from what I have experienced, I don't know of any other church that understands these doctrines, these footings, as the author brings out here, that it's elementary, these principles, the foundation you need to have in your Christian life. I don't know of any other church that understands all 7 of these, except the true church that God has inspired this author to write here. So it's important that we understand these doctrines that are here, so that we can continue to grow and recognize that there's blessings from all these doctrines if we understand them. They're there. It's, as the author says, they may be basic, but we need to understand that every one of them brings about a blessing. Today, I would like to look at the one regarding the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands, you might say, for the title is laying on of hands are for spiritual purposes. When we have laying on of hands, they're for a spiritual purpose. It helps us with our commitment to God. It builds that relationship between us and God the Father. So the laying on of hands are for spiritual purposes. We will see his response of blessing us when our desires are to yield to God's will as we go through the Bible here, looking at various examples of the laying on of hands and blessings. But let us begin right in the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Where we read, in the beginning, God. Very important to understand that in the very beginning there was God. He's always has been there. And to understand what his will is for us. Here at this time, it was two individuals in the Godhead. And later, one would become the Father and the one would become the Son, who we know as Jesus Christ. But at this time, they're together. And so in the beginning was God, and then he decided to create here for mankind. And then, if you would, turn and look over here at verse 26 through 28. And we see then their blessing after they created Adam and Eve was bestowed upon Adam and Eve. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. So they're going to create Adam and Eve at this time. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see then that after he created Adam and Eve, he gave them a responsibility that they would have dominion over the earth, the animals and the fish and everything that creeps on the earth, giving mankind a responsibility that we are to have That's what he's given us. Then notice in verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So then we see this blessing that God gave Adam and Eve at that time. But we have to come to understand how even Adam was created. So let's get some more details on that. If we look here in Genesis 2 and chapter and verse 7. So just want to turn over a page or two here to chapter 2 and verse 7. We get the details how God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we see here then the one who became Jesus Christ, our Savior, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground. You think about meditate, you know. It's different than the other animals. It says here with Adam, he took the dust of the ground and he formed Adam at that time. From the Young's literal translation of this verse, it is, and Jehovah God formeth the man, dust from the ground, and breatheth into his nostrils breath of life. And the man became a living creature. So here, Christ molded Adam, formed him, and for Adam, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So we can see then, we are, you know, the clay of the potter. Jesus Christ, the potter who created Adam. Something you might think along the same line is like a sand sculptures at the beach, probably. Maybe you've even did a little sand sculpturing at the beach or seen where there's sand sculpturing competition. You know, very brilliant work that is done there with the sand. But here we have Jesus Christ going there and forming, molding Adam to what he wanted. Then he breathed into him this miracle of the breath of man, the spirit of mankind. See, only man do we read that God knelt. He must have breathed into Adam's nostrils and gave him the breath of life. As it says over here in Zechariah 12 and verse 1. Zechariah 12 and verse 1 regarding the spirit of man, how God gave that to Adam. Zechariah 12 and verse 1 we read, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. This says the Lord, who stretches out to heaven, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. You know, it was God who forms the spirit of man within him. It's a miracle in every one of us. You know, humanity, we have this one characteristic that other living creatures lack. Even Job's young friend Elihu describes this extra element over here in Job 32 and verse 8. Job chapter 32 and verse 8. Right here, this young man understood that, was inspired anyway to write it, and it's been recorded, where Job 32 and verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. So it's only us of the flesh that we can have understanding. So when God breathed in life into Adam, he imparted this spirit in man, an essence that gives all of us abilities to do things that none of the other animals have. And even today, every birth of every human has the spirit of man in them. Total miracle. It cannot be duplicated by mankind or science. It's just God what he is doing for us, has done for us. A blessing to become a potential member of the family of God. Remember, as we read in Genesis, there, make man in the image of the God family at that time. And we should be very grateful that the creative ability to produce another human being has not been given to man. And God said, no, I created man. You are not going to be able to ever create something of the flesh like man. So God, that's his creation. That is his doing. For only God can give that spirit of man a miracle there. Every human birth that takes place is that spirit in man. So we need to understand, as we study the laying on of hands, a purpose, so that we see here, right, even at the beginning, here was the laying on of hands. God created Adam, and then he blessed him. So we have the laying on of hands right there. And it was for a spiritual purpose. God was creating the human beings, so eventually we can become sons and daughters of the God family. So now moving on in the book, in the history of mankind, let us turn to Genesis chapter 48 and verse 10 through 15. Genesis 48 and beginning in verse 10, and we will read through verse 15. As we're moving forward now in the history of man, still very early, though, in the history of mankind, as we find here in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, but to help us to understand the 19th, 20th, and 21st century of mankind, we need to look at what has taken place here, way back here in Genesis chapter 48, the blessings that we have today because of the blessings, laying out of hands that took place right here in Genesis 48, beginning in verse 10 now. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, meaning he bringing forth his grandsons, and Israel, he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. So we see here then the laying of hands that Israel is putting on his grandsons here, Ephraim and Manasseh. Then he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. And God, the angel, has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So we see then the blessing that Israel bestowed upon his grandsons. And with all this, to see that he was a man of faith. As I'm looking here, as we read here, verse 15, just as a sidebar regarding Israel, where he says, the God has fed me all life long to this day. So here, you know, Jacob knew, or Israel here, that God had been with him all his days. And you think back of what he went through in his life. He thought Joseph was dead. His own sons had brought back this colt and said, this is what happened to your son. He was killed. His own sons had lied to him. So all these years he thought, Joseph said, been killed. But he remained faithful. As he says here, he knew that God had looked out for him. And after so many years, you know, I don't know exactly how many years it was from the time that Joseph went into Egypt till Jacob found out that he was still alive, you know, many years of heartache that individual suffered. But he was close to God. So we see then here the blessings that took place by the laying on of hands that Jacob passed on to his grandsons. And we see then that the laying on of hands, that human touch is there. A blessing was given there that day. And today we are still benefactors of that laying on of hands, that blessing that was pronounced. We are still today. Let's notice how God does love to bless. Once again, over here in Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22 through 27. Here we'll read where God is blessing ancient Israel before they even get to the promised land. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." So we see here then, you know, the priests were doing their responsibility, passing on this blessing. God says, "I will bless them." I like the New Living Translation on this verse 27, where it reads, "Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them." So God says, you know, the priests do their responsibility, I will bless the people. Continuing on now in the book of Numbers and the history of ancient Israel, let's turn to Numbers chapter 27 and verse 18 through 23. Numbers 27 and verse 18 through 23. So we read here where about laying on of hands and blessing come with ordination, setting someone apart for a responsibility that they have. Beginning in verse 18 now. "And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. And at his word they shall go out, and his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. And he laid his hands on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." So we see here then a blessing, and that Joshua has been set aside. So all the congregation knew it was God who was working here, who was setting aside a new leader for them, Joshua, to lead them. So we see that blessing. So now let us look at blessings today when we believe and yield to God's word with regard to the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands for spiritual purposes. Well, like I said, there's two in this relationship. We have to be willing to believe and in faith, yielding to God's word, and then have the laying on of hands and receiving the blessings from God. The first one we'll look at today here is the blessing of children. It's found over in a number of places, but we'll look in the book of Mark, for today. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13 through 16. Mark 10, verse 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. So we see here then the blessing of children, which we usually do at the second Sabbath after the feast in a congregation. You know, it can be done individually with the parents and the child at home as well. But we see that Christ picked them up, held them, touched them, put his hands on them, and then blessed them. You know, give the blessing on the child. You know, it's we do it where we know the child is in a home where the parents are Christians, that they will follow God's way of life. You know, blessing can only be there if individuals are following God's laws, doing his will. Then we see the blessings take place. As it says over here in Psalm 127 and verse 3 through 5, Psalm 127, the children are a blessing, a great blessing, that hopefully we all should know very well. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3. "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." In other words, children, a blessing from God. He's made it possible for the conception to take place. As it says here, "The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children's of one's youth. Happy is a man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." So children are blessings from God. It is his desire for us to have children. And just think of prophetic times that I read yesterday, that the population of the earth is getting smaller because of the death birth rate going down in America, even China. We just aren't births anymore. So we see then how God is the one who provides children. It's a blessing. And as he said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful, multiply. I want children." So we see that is God's desire. And then because we want children, we have the blessing of children, so he can bless them, protect them, as we train up our children in the way that they are to go, to follow God. Another time now going on with regard to blessing and the laying on of hand, that is at baptism, where we have a new creation. If you would, turn over with me now to Book of Acts and 8, and we'll be reading 14 through 17. Acts chapter 8 and verses 14 through 17. "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus." So we see then at this time that they did not have God's Spirit. It had not had hands laid on them, asking God to intervene, to give them God's Spirit. So then we read here in verse 17, then they laid hands on them and received the Holy Spirit at that time. So there's a blessing there at baptism when we come up, laying on of hands as elders pray over an individual, praying that God will give this individual who's just been baptized there his Spirit to help them. And those of us who are members of the church, we've had this happen to us. You know, we have been baptized, and the elders have laid their hands on us and prayed that God the Father would give us his Spirit so that we can overcome and be prepared to be members in the congregation. Now let's turn over here to Acts chapter 19 and verses 1 through 6. Another example at that time. This is Acts 19 and reading verses 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. You know, what are you talking about, Paul? And he said to them, where were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the manner of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with languages and prophesied. So here we see the gift, once again, of the Holy Spirit given to these individuals. So that, once again, they were able to have received this blessing from God. And once again, this blessing comes when we yield to God. When, at baptism, we agreed to come under the authority of Jesus Christ as our Master. Agreeing to that, the elders lay the hands on us and ask this blessing of God's Holy Spirit. That we have our part in this relationship of saying, yes, I do accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Master. Another area where we have the blessing and laying on of hands, and that is with a marriage covenant. I know when a couple is baptized in God's church, there the minister will usually clasp the hands of the two getting married and ask a blessing, asking God to be there. It is not just male and female in this marriage, a Christian marriage. No, there's three. Asking God to bless them, husband and wife, that they look to God to guide and direct them in their marriage so that they can be a unit of one. So we see then there, once again, our response to submit to God, his directions, what it is to be a husband, what it is to be a wife, and having that blessing from God. Then there's another one, and that is anointing when we are sick. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31 through 35. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31 through 35. Where we read here, again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came to the midst of the region, Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. So we see here, you know, they knew that if Christ just put his hand on this individual may be healed. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to them, Epiphani, that is, be open. Immediately his ears were open and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. So we see here then this blessing. I brought this individual to Christ. He laid his hands on them, individual, and then asked the blessing, and the individual was healed. Now today, us as elders, we don't put our fingers in anyone's ears that might have an earache or anything. You know, today we just lay our hands on individuals. We do not spit on the ground or anything, but we do lay our hands on, and acknowledging that God is the one that is going to intervene and heal this individual. And as we heard in the sermonette, we read James 5:14-15, that in faith we call upon God. By faith, we're willing to admit to God for our healing. We look to him, and we recognize him that you are the one, Al Shaddai, the Almighty, the one that will heal us. Let's turn back and see the promise. Once again, in Psalm 91, you know, a few weeks back, we read Psalm 91. And so let's look at Psalm 91, verse 14 through 16. Once again, with regard to when we are under the shadow of the Almighty, when we yield to him, this is what the Almighty says in verse 14 through 16, where he says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So we see then that God is there. If we're willing to dwell with him, he's there for us. And finally, where we see the laying on of hands is ordination. So if it would turn with me over to Acts chapter 6, and we'll read in verses 1 and 6. Acts chapter 6, and we'll read, begin with verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. The church has grown a lot, and the widows were not being taken care of, so, you know, they wanted something to be done. So then verse 6 we read, then they set before the apostles individuals that when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So here then we see the setting aside the office individuals as deacons at that time. They were set aside, ordained, as it says here, you know, we're praying and fasting before we decide someone to, is qualified for that office by the laying on of God's hands. And then chapter 13 of Acts and verses 2 through 3. Acts chapter 13 and verses 2 through 3. Once again, we'll see where God's Spirit intervened and guided the ministry at this time to recognize what he had in store for Barnabas and Paul. Beginning here in verse 2 now of Acts 13. As he ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called him. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So we see here then fasting and prayer for those of us that will be ordaining individuals. That's what we do. We have our guideline. We fast and pray about ordaining someone to an office at this time. And we, when they're separated, having that gift, that laying on of hands, you know, it's for the purpose to accomplish something in the spiritual body of Christ. When we lay hands on a deacon, deaconess, or another individual to be an elder. So we see it then today with regards to understanding the doctrine here that we have of the laying on of hands. But what does it take here for this blessings to come from the laying on of hand? It takes faith. Number one, faith. You know, faith accompanied with works leads one to obedience, or could say obedience is a shadow of faith of an individual. Obedience is a shadow of faith of an individual. You know, it's kind of like that old saying, hand in glove, or you can't have one without the other. You can't have faith without obedience. Obedience requires faith, that you do believe in God. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Regarding why we need God's Spirit intervening in our lives. As it says here in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way a man is not in himself. It is not man who walks to direct his own steps. We have to come individually to realize that we cannot direct our own steps in life. That's why we seek baptism, that we need God's Spirit to help and guide us. You know, when we lay hands on ordaining an individual to an office, we're asking God's Spirit to be there. As an individual, humbly enough, realizes he cannot fulfill that office on his own abilities and gifts that God may have given him. He needs God's Spirit. So being ordained to office, an individual realizes, I'm not here because of my great so-called talents I have. I can only perform what God gives me through His Spirit, that I can accomplish the task that Christ has given me, whether a deacon, deaconess, an elder. We need God's Spirit to perform our responsibility. And then over here, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 through 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for us, but we have to go to him, take our cares that we have, and asking him to help us, submitting to him in faith. Another aspect of the laying on of hands is the touch of the laying on of hands. There's something about that touch. Have you ever thought of the five senses we are gifted with at birth? Which is the first of the five senses that a newborn baby has, which it may be comforted with? Touch. Isn't it touch? You know, usually when an infant is born, they lay the baby on the mother's chest. Touch, comforting. And they have found that babies that are there for a while in the hospital, as long as they have somebody that comes in and lifts them up during the day, touches them during the day, they do much better health-wise than those who just lay in that little crib all day long and no one touches them. No one picks them up or holds them. So touch is such a very important part that we need in our lives. Also, it's interesting, at times, many times at the end of a person's life cycle, touch, once again, is so important. I've heard and understand there are volunteers who will go into care facilities and willing to hold the hand and stroke the hand of an individual who, you know, near death. It's comforting, just that touch of another human. So we see then there that it's so important, human touch. Notice over here in the book of Revelation how John was touched. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 through 18. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17 through 18. The word of the touch of Christ at this time on John. And when I saw him, this is John talking about Christ, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." So you can imagine what happened to John. He knew Christ was up there, sitting on the right hand of God. But how many years had passed between the time he had last seen Christ rise and go up to the Father and this? Well, probably, 60 years or more had passed. And all of a sudden, here he is. And you see Christ and you fall down because you know who he is. He's your Savior at this time. But here we see Christ laid out his right hand on him and said, "Come on, John, rise up. I am he." And also, another thing that comes about with the laying on of hands, we see that brings about fellow believers together. You know, we come together, pray together, we see baptism, ordinations, to come together as a family, knowing what God the Father is doing, how he's blessing these individuals that are having hands laid on them, this blessing from God the Father. So we see then this great benefit of this doctrine of the laying on of hands for spiritual purposes. So there is this understanding of this blessing. It's part of the footings for us when we're yielding to God's gracious and loving authority for us as a Christian, so we can go on to perfection. We have to be able to understand these doctrines as we read there in Hebrews. It's a blessing for the children, you know, the protection from physical harm, and to be trained in the ways as a child of God. The giving of the Holy Spirit at baptism, marriage blessings when we are sick, and when someone is ordained into an office of service to the congregation by the laying on of hands, a blessing for spiritual purposes. So then we can see then how important it is to understand the blessing that we have with the laying on of hands for a spiritual purpose.